You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour two on this Friday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Great appearance by Chris Sims. He joined us last hour. If you missed it, you miss any interview, go to danpatrick.com. If you missed Trey Lance yesterday, you can listen to that interview as well. We thought he was great. We fell in love with his personality, and apparently so did the San Francisco 49ers. I don't know when they fell in love. That's what I would be curious about, because I can only give you the information that I'm told, and it's by somebody who's been correct probably 99% of the time with all of this. And my source said that they moved up because Kyle Shanahan loved Mac Jones. He was the kind of quarterback, I think he saw a future Drew Brees. You know, I would say Tom Brady, but that's not fair. Even saying Drew Brees is probably not fair. But also a quarterback who could carry out the game plan that Kyle Shanahan would design. And it might be similar to, and the comp I was given is Matt Ryan, not, you know, Kirk Cousins. But at some point along the way, I think the Niners were probably looking at Trey Lance and Justin Fields and decided, let's take another look at both of these players. And then I think they started to fall in love with Trey Lance more and more and more. But I don't know when. I don't know what day. Like, was it yesterday morning? And he's not going to admit it. And if he does admit it, he would probably say the following. Look, we love Mac Jones, but the more we saw Trey Lance, the more we realized that he was our quarterback. This is what he had to say.
We've been very high on Trey since the beginning, since day one. And yes, the person everyone else is speculating about, we liked him too. But it was just, honestly, to go through this whole process where, you know, no one has known, you know, my friends, coaches, anybody, how John and I feel and how we felt this whole time. And we do that because you don't want to sway people in this building. You want everyone to give you, just work their butts off and give you their honest info.
And then here's Trey Lance a little less than 24 hours ago on this show. What have the Niners told you?
Just about the same thing as everyone else, honestly. Not a whole lot. Just have gotten to know me. I had Zooms and obviously gotten to know football, but that's about it.
If you could ask the Niners a question, what would you ask?
I would ask them if they're going to draft me.
It seems like a logical question there. And I do believe him. I think his reaction in real time when Shanahan called him and told him, hey, we're taking you. And he said, you know, hey, I didn't know. And I truly believe that he did not know. Here is John Lynch on drafting Trey Lance and calling him.
You know, I think we got to know a person that impressed us as much on the field as he did off the field. And he was outstanding in both ways. And, you know, that goes for a lot of these guys. But with Trey, that was a special moment to be able to talk to him, because I think it was true surprise. And, you know, he had a hunch, I believe, and I'm interested to hear from him. But, you know, that was the first time he heard it when we were able to call him. So that was a pretty special moment.
I loved it because there was the element of surprise. Zach Wilson knew he was going to the Jets. Trevor Lawrence knew he was going to Jacksonville, just to get that honest reaction. And we saw that with a variety of these draft prospects, draft picks, their families and how they reacted. You know, the Bears move up and, you know, they're going to take a quarterback and they're going to take Justin Fields. And just that excitement there. You know, what are the Bengals doing at 5? Are they going to take a great wide receiver, an offensive lineman? You know, what are the Cowboys doing? They're actually trading within the division and allowing, you know, the Eagles to go up. And then they go down and then they take the linebacker out of Penn State and, you know, Micah Parsons. Carolina on the clock. Do they take a quarterback? No, they don't take a quarterback. They take a defensive back. Denver's on the clock. What do you do? Do you like your quarterbacks? You got a chance. You got two of them. No, we're going to take a defensive back. Just sort of that anticipation of what was going on was a lot of fun last night. Yeah, Seton.
But if you're the 49ers GM or a 49ers fan, would you rather have Trey Lance or Aaron Rodgers today?
Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers. But I don't know what was offered. If I'm Green Bay and I think that this relationship is not sustainable, which I don't think it is, and said that to this audience a month ago, according to a source, then why not get the number three pick overall and some things? And now you can get, you want to get, you know, an impact player at a different, you could get Kyle Pitts. And the Packers already have a good tight end. But imagine if you got him, you know, if Jordan Love is your future, then the future is now. In the NFL, you don't wait that long. Like, you're not waiting 2 years for your quarterback. Like, when you draft a quarterback, you can wait a year. And Kansas City did that because Alex Smith was coming off a career year, and that team was really good. But they realized Patrick Mahomes was a better quarterback than Alex Smith. At some point, you have to realize, is Jordan Love going to be our guy? And if not, then you should have tried to trade him and then said to Aaron Rodgers, there, we made a mistake. We want to keep you here. I mean, Rodgers sat for 3 years, but that doesn't happen anymore. That won't happen anymore. It just won't. You're taking these quarterbacks. They're ready to go. They're playing in spread offenses. They're playing in pro-style offenses. They're ready to go. And I think that's the difference here. But at some point, the Packers have to realize, are we at the point of no return? And you've got an MVP right now. The reigning MVP, I don't know if Aaron Rodgers' stock will ever be higher than it is right now. So imagine if he has a subpar season coming up. Or let's say he goes back to what he did in the two previous seasons prior to last year. 25 touchdowns, 26 touchdowns. If it's not going to work out, then trade him. Here is the Packers GM, Brian Gutekunst.
Is there any scenario that you can see trading Aaron Rodgers this offseason?
No, Ryan, I appreciate the question, but no, we're not going to trade Aaron Rodgers.
Okay. Sounds definitive, but, you know, there's two sides here. Hey, we're not going to trade him. Well, what if that guy who wants to be traded forces your hand somehow? Yes, Eaton.
I wish the follow-up question was, what are you going to do? I mean, there's not really any free agents left, and the draft is pretty much done. Well, not done, but the first round is over.
Here is the Packers GM on being optimistic.
I think we have a very good football team here. We have a great organization. We're very committed to him. And I think as the lines of communications have been open, I'm just optimistic that that's what's best for the Green Bay Packers. And I truly believe that's what's best for Aaron Rodgers as well.
Yeah, okay. Chris Sims sent a tweet. Rodgers has every right to be disgruntled, and I think the public perception is on his side. People realize he's been done wrong by an organization that doesn't go all in to win. If he wants a trade to happen, it's time to play hardball and just say it. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. Pies are on the way in the final hour of the show. I have one. Because I said Trevor Lawrence 3 years ago would not be the number one pick last night. McLovin will do the honors. McLovin lost the Justin Fields bet to Seton. And McLovin will take not one, not two, but three pies to the face coming up in the final hour of the show. Paulie with a great call. He said that Mac Jones would fall out of the top 10. If Mac Jones was not drafted in the top 10, we must play Rush songs the entire show. Fritzy got in on the action. He said that the Broncos would take Patrick Surtain. He was a winner. Now, if they trade him, then you'd get a pie to the face.
Seems fair.
Okay. Thank you, Todd. All right. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DPShow. Jake in Wisconsin. Oh, look who surfaced here with a little drama there with the Packers. Hi, Jake.
What up, DP?
Hey, bud.
Man, is 2 o'clock in the afternoon too early to start drinking?
Is that when you started yesterday?
Are you kidding me? How do you not? Like, oh man, like that news got dropped, and it was the worst part is the very first thing I thought of was, oh great, here comes Fritzy's mock headline: Packers' future with Rodgers in jeopardy? Question mark.
That's a shot. The way you said that.
Todd, do you want to fire back at Jake in Wisconsin?
He's got a point, though. That did cross my mind, but it seemed way too obvious. I'm sure everyone was making a Jeopardy
connection. Do you have draft mock headlines?
I can work up some.
Okay. No,
I was busy running Arbor Day sports names. Yeah.
I came in today.
My priorities were way out of whack.
He goes, I got Arbor mock headlines.
I got like 20 sports Arbor Day sports names based on trees.
Okay. Talk about being clueless here. The draft just happened.
I can't help if Arbor Day falls out the day after the first round.
Oh, my God.
Why is that my fault?
Okay. Ryan Leaf. Tree Rollins.
No, you got two of them. I have 18 other ones.
Charles Barkley.
Yeah. Barkavius Mingo.
Okay. Yeah, see.
Well, that's what either that's the biggest lie or the biggest waste of time. It's one or the other, that Todd is busy rewriting the same names that he does every single year. How much could you possibly update Arbor Day names? You do that every year. So don't you just go back to the old list?
It's
a very
both.
Limited group.
It's a lie and it's a waste of time.
It's a niche group
niche.
Of names.
Yeah, thank you.
Playing off of wood and trees and things. But I do have them ready.
No.
Arbor Day names.
No.
Arbor Day sports names.
No, I'm not doing it.
Who would be the best name for that?
I'm not doing it, Todd.
I'm just asking, I'm giving you guys a quick quiz.
Reggie Bush.
It's a hockey-related name. That would be the most obvious one based on the day that it is.
Al Arbor.
There you go. Al Arbor would lead the pack. Longtime head coach of the Islanders. Might have been an executive at some point.
Branch Rickey.
I had Cliff Branch, but we'll give you Branch Rickey.
Why do I do this? Jesse in Los Angeles. Hi, Jess. What's on your mind today?
Hey, DP. Happy Positivity Friday.
Thank you, Jess.
Hey, on McLovin's poll, the Rogers story easily takes the cake, which also, as you might know, happens to be why I'm calling in. I wanted to first say that yesterday when it broke, I was thinking that there's no way it could be coincidental. It had to be calculated on the same night that they slapped him in the face.
Sure.
That he leaked this probably to say, like we all do to Carl Mandick, suck it. And that Jordan, and it reminded me in the moment of Jordan making the decision to greenlight The Last Dance the same day LeBron was winning his third championship. I respect the level of pettiness, but after this move, I don't think there's any mental defense, as you say. So if it's okay, if you could put me out of my misery with one final Green Bay Rogers stat of the day, I'll take the original music.
Okay, here we go. Stat of the day.
A few years ago, Mr. Rogers hit the 300 career touchdown mark and was the first to do so without throwing at least 100 interceptions. Even crazier than that, this last season versus the Eagles, he hit the 400 career touchdown mark and became the first player to ever do that without amassing 100 interceptions. So no, Pack, no!
I'm going to give it to you. Thank you, Jess. The one guarantee of every draft is a nonstop avalanche of positivity because every pick is great, right? Every player's perfect fit. It has nothing to do with reality. Even high first rounders aren't guaranteed. And then we go back years from now, and then the mistakes seem so obvious. How did teams let Patrick Mahomes drop to number 10, right? You could go year to year with teams passing on quarterbacks. This year, teams passing Justin Fields, Mac Jones, falling to the Bears at 11, Pats at 15. And if either one of these guys hits it big, one of the players drafted earlier doesn't, GMs are going to be in trouble. By the way, can we stop with the revisionist history with the mock drafters and the analysts who say now, today, as opposed to yesterday, you know, I had an idea that this is a smokescreen with the Niners, Mac Jones. But if I said to you yesterday, you got to bet a week's pay on who the Niners are going to take, you probably would have said Mac Jones. Yep, I had an idea they were going Trey Lance. No, people thought they would go Justin Fields, not Trey Lance. Yes, Todd.
I understand it's a very competitive industry and you don't want to be wrong, but wouldn't it be refreshing if once in a while they could just say, I didn't see that coming? I think I would like that reporter a lot more, that insight. I think most people would say, boy, I blew that one.
I knew somebody who went back and changed their mock drafts for history. Like when you say, oh, who did you have such and such going to? This person had gone back and changed his mock draft to reflect that he knew that this crazy draft pick was going to happen. Yeah, Paul.
I could release a mock draft right now. I still wouldn't get them all right. I can't even remember what happened last night.
McLovin, do you have your mock draft for next year? Is it already out? Like 2022?
No. I didn't know the demand was still there for it. But there are some guys I like.
But it's going to come out on Monday.
It is? Okay.
Somebody will have a mock draft on Monday, I get the feeling.
Yeah. Well, I think it's fun to do one now because you can be wrong and have more fun with it. People get so deadly serious. I saw all these competitions last night and grades and...
Oh, and we want to give a grade right away. And I always say, you got to give at least 2 years. 2 years and then you can give your grade. And that's probably in large part due to the quarterbacks. I don't know what Trey Lance will be like this year, but maybe next year or the year after that, you go, oh my God, they got a steal. Or we might go, they gave up all of that, and Justin Fields is a better quarterback. Or, hey, look at Mac Jones lighting it up. Bill Belichick talked about Mac Jones, and as only Bill Belichick can, here's his response on who his quarterback is.
Look forward to working with him. You know, he's a smart kid. He's been in a system that's, you know, similar to ours. We've had a lot of good conversations with him. I think he'll be able to process the offense. It's obviously going to take a lot of time. We'll see how it goes. Cam's our quarterback, whatever position, whatever time Jared or Mac, you know, ready to, you know, challenge and compete, then we'll, you know, we'll see how that goes.
Man, that guy's excited. Woo! Yeah, see.
I don't know if you realize what Mac is backwards, but it's Cam.
Ooh.
Coach, who's your starting quarterback? It's going to be the guy with C-A-M, the letters A-M-C in his name.
Yeah. Yes, Paul.
Imagine the season ticket office over at the Patriots says, Coach, can you cut something for us to really sizzle up the fan?
Patriots, please hold. Patriots, please hold. Patriots, please hold.
We're very excited about Mac Jones. Please buy your tickets now.
Yeah, we're going to drop a hype video, Coach. Can you be in it? I'd be thrilled.
Yeah, and Cam should be their starting quarterback. Now, it would be news if he said, are you kidding me? We're taking Mac Jones, and he's going to be our starting quarterback. Now it's interesting.
It's going to be interesting to see Mac Jones throw to non-first-round wide receivers, I can tell you that. Good grief.
He's going to get out there, and he's going to go, this ain't Alabama.
Yeah, good luck, kid.
I had more talent at Alabama than I do here. Dylan in Nebraska joins us. Hi, Dylan. What's on your mind today?
Hey, DP. How you doing?
How you doing?
As a very happy Jags fan, with the idea of Trevor, Travis, and Tim Tebow as the lead blocker, that's great. The best part of the draft, though, was watching my Broncos fan girlfriend stress for Mac Jones to the point where he got drafted and then declare, now I can hate him.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know about the Travis Etienne draft pick, where they drafted him. It's not the player, it's where you draft. It's the strategy that you have. And I think that's where I looked at the Raiders with what they did. And I don't think anybody had that lineman from Alabama, Alex Leatherwood, as high as the Raiders did. But the Raiders have done this before, you know, with Cleveland Farrell. You know, Josh Jacobs has been a wonderful running back for them. But you're still taking a running back in the first round. Najee Harris could be a really good running back for the Steelers, but you take him in the first round. And I liken it to blackjack. I said this in the first hour. There are certain numbers that you just stick. There are other ones that you hit on. And I think that there are teams that this is what they do is they reach. And I thought the Raiders reached yesterday. He might turn out to be a good football player. I think you could have gotten him in the second round. Yeah, Paulie.
If you go back to the Steelers' history, Le'Veon Bell was a second-round draft pick. James Conner, pretty good player for a while. He was a third-round draft pick.
Yeah, McLevin, do you have something?
Well, I was just going to say, I feel like Travis Etienne, like when everything falls apart in Jacksonville, they're just going to throw 50 screen passes to him. So it's like a safety valve, like a little bit of an insurance policy. You're right. It's only 20.
It's not him.
Yeah.
It's where you take him. That's it.
But everybody needs their James White, but you get him in the third or fourth round. I think that's what you're saying.
So do we settle on a poll question?
We have the biggest surprise, and it's still Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I think it's going to be. Maybe we should change that up.
How about which rookie do you expect to either start first or to make a Pro Bowl first? Take out Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence. Trey Lance, Justin Fields, and Mac Jones all have veterans ahead of them. Or is there a guy you think starts week one out of that? Trey Lance's got Jimmy G.
No.
You know, Justin Fields has Andy Dalton.
Ooh. QB1.
Insurmountable.
QB1.
Yeah, that tweet is not going to age well there with QB1.
And Mac Jones as Cam.
Yeah, he's not starting right away. I guess Trey Lance could, but it depends on how long Jimmy Garoppolo is there. Like, what kind of progress is Trey Lance going to give you? Yeah, McLevin.
Oh, that's the other question. Are you hearing anything on a Jimmy G trade?
No, but that's another thing that, you know, you start to look at the options for Jimmy G. You know, New England took Mac Jones. Remember, that was going to be a foregone conclusion. Hey, by Sunday, he's traded to the Patriots. Okay. Probably not going to happen. Bears got a quarterback. Like, I guess the Washington football team, who I thought, Denver. But, you know, if Aaron Rodgers goes somewhere, if he ends up going to Denver. Yeah, Paulie.
The Garoppolo thing's really weird because 2 years ago you're in the Super Bowl. Bunch of guys were hurt last year, but that roster seems high end. That seems like a top 10 roster. Do you let Garoppolo take it for one last year and see what he can do?
What if he goes 12-4?
I don't know. Then it's like the Phillip Rivers thing where he sits for a while.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe if the worst case scenario is he takes you deep in the playoffs, then that's a win, I guess.
Well, I guess you can go, hey, look at his stock, you know. Yeah. Who wants Jimmy Garoppolo? We'll take a break here. Mike Tirico is going to join us. And coming up in the final hour, Dan Orlovsky from the Mothership will give us his thoughts on what happened last night and what we can expect to happen over the next two nights. 22 after the hour, right here on the Dan Patrick Show. You can hear it in my voice. You can. Right?
Pain?
Energy.
Oh.
Yeah. No, that's Todd's mock headline.
Oh. But, last segment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's no pain. All gain here. Like, this is a guy who is defying the odds. They said I couldn't do it.
Who specifically?
I don't know, but they're just those people.
They.
They said I couldn't do it. They said, oh my gosh, he's fallen apart. The artist formerly known as Dan Patrick. Maybe I said that. M-Drive is packed with powerful ingredients backed by science. Keeps me energized, stronger, leaner. I'm ready to go. How do you feel today? Yes, Todd.
The Father Time was undefeated. Now you got their back up against the wall there.
Thank you, Todd. Are you ready to try M-Drive? Go to mdrivedan.com.
Did I offer anything there for you?
No.
I didn't.
No.
I just threw you off right in the middle. I apologize.
Free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee. You can get M-Drive at Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Vitamin Shop. Go to mdrivedan.com. I love you, but I don't like you.
There was a T-shirt, I think, about that.
Refind your prime with M-Drive. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. We'll get some more phone calls coming up. 877-3DP-SHOW. Mike Tirico is going to host the Kentucky Derby live from Churchill Downs. That'll be tomorrow. That'll be the fifth time he's done that. Their coverage starts at 2:30 Eastern. Also, part of Saturday's Derby show will be Mike's championship discussion with Bill Belichick and also Bob Baffert, the six-time Kentucky Derby winning trainer. Well, let me start with that there, Mike. How did that come up, and what was the topic of conversation with Bill?
I'd love to tell you, but the segment's out of time with you waiting to hit the post.
Thanks to talk to you, Mike. Have fun at Churchill Downs.
Thanks. I love 2112. Great album. Thanks for being on. Have a great weekend. So Belichick, we see Belichick at the Preakness every year. Baltimore guy, loves going to Pimlico. He and Seth Klarman, one of the big horse racing owners, have a good relationship. So Bill's there every year, and I know that he really enjoys horse racing, and he's won six Super Bowls, obviously. Baffert's won the Super Bowl of Thoroughbred Racing, Kentucky Derby, six times. So we've told the Baffert story 100 different ways. So let's give this a whirl. So I was out at Santa Anita in Southern California, interviewed Baffert, and then we did a Zoom, and we Zoomed in Belichick. It was hysterical. Bill was great. In the piece, which will air on the pre-race show, Belichick laughs, tells jokes. He shares his love of horse racing, and Bill Belichick says we're on to Cincinnati without being prompted, which was sensational. I wanted to walk off. I'm like, this is the best day ever. We got Belichick to say we're on to Cincinnati on his own. It was great. So it was just a fun time, and it's Belichick in a different light. And same true with Baffert.
I am never going to see that side of Bill Belichick that everybody keeps telling me, oh, you would love him. Man, he is so funny. I'd never been around him when he's let his guard down. So, you know, maybe one of these days I'll see that side. Well, maybe I'll just tune in tomorrow.
you could do that.
Yeah, and then I'll see that side.
The highlight of the piece is Baffert comes up with a term about dealing with, you know, media attention, all that stuff. And Belichick, like, lights up when Baffert says it, and he goes, Bob, I like that. I might steal that for next year. So I'm going to be watching the Belichick press conferences to see if he steals the Baffert line. The piece was fun, and it was great of Bill. I'm very appreciative that he answered our call and was willing to play along with us.
Now, you did Notre Dame games this year. Mm-hmm. Best player you saw either on Notre Dame or against Notre Dame this year was who?
Well, it's hard to say Trevor Lawrence because he didn't play in the game. DJ Uiagalelei, the guy who's going to replace Lawrence, was the quarterback for that game. I would probably say Travis Etienne and Notre Dame handled him for a while. I thought one of the Notre Dame players would go in the first round, and that was Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, the linebacker.
I like him a lot. I
love him as a player, versatility, you know, that a kind of Isaiah Simmons hybrid role. You can do a lot of things with him. He will not last long in the second round. And if your team gets him, this guy, he brings it, speed, power with that speed, and a really smart kid and he loves football. Man, I hate to run through all the Kuiper cliches there, but he fits the bill full time, and whoever gets him will be good. And Liam Eichenberg, the left tackle, too. There are a couple of good Notre Dame players I think will go in the second round. But opponents, I say ETN was the best of the bunch.
What is it like hosting when you host a draft? When you know, there's so many moving parts there.
Yeah.
Like just trying to keep focus there. You know, Greeny did a great job last night. You know, his first draft. Rich Eisen's been doing this for a long, long time. But what is that like with information where it feels like you got people talking in both of your ears? If you had a third ear, they'd be talking into that as well. The crowd noise in there as well.
Right, right. Unfortunately, you're talking out of something else while people are talking into your ears during the draft, right?
Yeah.
You know what, Dan? It's funny you said that because, you know, ESPN on their social media put out the class photo, the legendary class photo of the SportsCenter anchors, because Rich and Mike were in there, and they showed you know, the two guys who were hosting the draft, and Boomer sitting in the middle, and you're in there, and Robin, and Charlie, and me, Chris McKendry, a whole bunch of us. And I saw that. I just reached out to both Rich and Mike and said, hey, good luck with the draft. I did day two 10 times or 11 times. I did the main set once. Berman couldn't do the draft and did, I think, like 7 or 8 NBA drafts. And I texted Greeny. I said, and I'll be honest with you guys, I said, tonight is, if you want to think of anything from the experience of the chair, it's a night to be Chris Paul, not James Harden. You got to just take it and dish it and take it and dish it and take it and dish it. It's not a night to dribble the ball into the floor and step back and jack up shots, even though James Harden's great at doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And that Greeny was true. That's a hard job to do. The thing that always leaves me empty as a viewer is, as soon as the pick happens, half the audience wants to hear about how does the guy fit? Who am I getting? The other half of the audience wants to get onto the next pick. Give me the 4-minute run up to the Lions. And you got to tell you the commercial in there somewhere. So it's always a hard show to satisfy the viewers, but both networks do a really nice job doing it. It's not easy for sure.
What's your favorite draft moment that you hosted?
Tom Brady. I was on the air for Tom Brady, and every year now for the, you know, last 10 years or so, the anniversary of the Brady pick, which is also Belichick's birthday in late April, that clip surfaces on social media, and I get a number of, hey, you had hair back then. Yes, I did. Hey, Kuiper's hair hasn't changed. No, it hasn't. The headline of the thing, I had a pretty good insight into the Michigan situation. I wasn't living there at that point. I was covering college football, and I was able to kind of put in context that Brady wasn't starting. Drew Henson was there. And Kuiper's analysis of Brady is spot on. If you ever get a chance, go back and listen to it. Kuiper nailed Brady on pick 199 in the draft 21 years ago. It was not that he was going to be the all-time great, but what he could be in the league and the opportunities that he showed when he had his time at Michigan.
He's Mike Tirico, host, play-by-play voice, NBC Sports, NBC Football Night in America, and the Kentucky Derby. What do we need to know? What's this audience need to know about tomorrow?
All right, no super horse, but a bunch of really good ones. As many as 8 legitimately have a chance, I have to ask Randy Moss and Jerry Bailey, who I'm on the set with, and they're awesome. They've done this for many, many years. And I said, guys, I start throwing out names. Would you be surprised if this horse wins or this horse wins? And they said, no, we won't be. So I think if you're a handicapper or a bettor, you've got a lot of options in this race. A couple of the headlines, Essential Quality is the favorite, two-year-old champ, undefeated in five races, trained by Brad Cox, who grew up two blocks from here. Nobody from Louisville has ever trained a Derby champ. Big deal locally. Hmm. Bob Baffert's going for his seventh would be the all-time record. His horse is Medina Spirit, not probably one of the top three or four, maybe in that next group. Those would be the couple of headlines to take away. But Known Agenda is the other one I'll throw at you real quick. He's starting on the rail. Horses normally don't win from the one hole in a 20-horse field, but they've got a new gate that has been able to move the number one spot a little bit off the rail. So the experts think the one has a better chance this year than in other years.
Have you ever ridden a racehorse?
No, not a racehorse. I did one of those kind of mule things at Grand Canyon like 30 years ago. That was good enough for me.
Very
that was
similar.
About my how about you? You have it. You're too tall, right?
Yeah. No, I've been on horses before.
Oh, you have?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Anything good? I mean, do you have it? I mean, were you in a tuck? Were you, you know?
It wasn't comfortable.
No.
Because yeah. I like to go bareback. No, I'm talking about me, not the like the there's no saddle. Like I'm bareback, and that's that why it was a little bit uncomfortable there.
Oh my God,
some chafing there.
I will tell you this: the people in horse racing, the trainers, the jocks, the grooms, they're such good people. They love the horses, and this is one of the few days, these 3 days of the Breeders' Cup that you really pay attention. It gets on the national scene. But the people who keep this sport going, they did a great job during the pandemic. Horse racing didn't stop. People had to take care of the horses. The horses couldn't go into lockdown for 3 months. You need to feed them and train them and work them and stand them up and all that. And
how many fans tomorrow?
About a third, around 50,000, 45,000, 50,000. Okay. A third of the normal deal with the masks and the whole. Look, it's a 147-acre facility. So if any place can social distance, it's Churchill Downs.
Mike, have fun. We'll be watching. We appreciate it. Thanks for joining us as always.
Anytime, pal. Have a great weekend.
That's the great Mike Tirico. He'll be hosting the Kentucky Derby live, the coverage on NBC 2:30 Eastern. Of course, a special sit-down with Bill Belichick. He's won six Super Bowls, and the six-time Kentucky Derby winner, Bob Baffert, they sit down together. Yes, Paul.
I wonder if Belichick is more relaxed and having fun when we're not. Whoever's talking to him is not talking about the New England Patriots or Tom Brady or his work. I think if you take him out of his element, he'd probably enjoy that.
Well, we tried to have him on to talk about Army-Navy,
yeah.
And we said to the Patriots, we won't talk about anything other than Army-Navy. And it was close. He almost joined us. And I think that's as close as we've gotten. It's like, how do we get Belichick? Army-Navy football. His dad coached there? Yeah. And then all of a sudden, we didn't get a no back from the Patriots. I'm like, oh, okay. And then we waited, and they said, no. Yeah, Paul.
It's like that time we tried to shoot a Super Bowl open at the Saturday Night Live set.
Ooh.
And we asked Lauren Michaels' right-hand person, can we do that? And the person was like, this is like a thing that doesn't happen. He does not let his building, his set, be used for anything. He went up to Lauren Michaels and verbally asked him, could he do it? And Lauren Michaels went, and turned around and walked away. And I go, what does that mean? He goes, that's not a no. He goes, he's not pleased by what he was just asked, but he didn't say no because he is likes you and likes your work, I was told. But eventually got a no.
Well, I was doing Football Night in America from the same floor where Saturday Night Live was, right down the hall. And I thought, God, it'd be great if we did our Super Bowl open where, was this when the Super Bowl was in New York, and then I was going to do live from New York, it's the Dan Patrick Show?
Yes, you were going to be hosting, and we'd turn it around, and there'd just be us four in the audience. It was broached to us that maybe you guys just run in there, shoot it, and run out.
Yeah.
And we were told that we would all be fired. Not you, but all of us would have been fired if that happened.
Yeah. I think the key word is shoot. Hey, yes. Go in there and just shoot it, and then, oh, no, they're going to shoot you if you do that. But I thought there was a chance. I thought there, that he would go like, go ahead and just do it real quick. And now didn't work out.
It's great.
All right, we'll take a break. Phone calls coming up back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, I'm John Middlecoff, and I host the 3 and Out podcast. Do you like football? Do you like the NFL? Do you like the NFL draft? Quarterbacks, coaches? Well, I talk about it all on the show. I used to work for Andy Reid as a scout. Now I give you my unfiltered and raw opinions on everything that goes on in the NFL. And you know we're talking college football because of how important the draft is year-round. Listen to the 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you guys see Darius Rucker at Trevor Lawrence's draft party last night?
Yeah. I saw it on Twitter out of the corner of my eye, and there's a big draft party. There's probably 25 people, and there's a guy in the back. I thought it was a cutout, like a promo material of Darius Rucker, and someone stuck it in the corner to make a joke. He wasn't really at Trevor Lawrence's house.
Yes, he was.
Isn't he a South Carolina fan?
Yeah, he's a Gamecock fan. Huh. I texted him. I just said, are you Forrest Gump? Like, are you at all of these events? I thought Darius would go to Trevor Lawrence's house, and then he would somehow get to Justin Fields' house, and then he would get to Travis Etienne's house. He'd be at like 3 different houses on draft night. I did not hear from him, so maybe it was a late night there somewhere with Trevor Lawrence. Fritzy has Arbor Day sports names. Now, you would think Todd would have mock headlines based off the first round of the draft, but seemed like a pretty big sporting event last night. But no, my toddler has Arbor Day. Today is Arbor Day.
Doesn't get enough love, Arbor Day. It gets hidden behind Earth Day.
Okay, how about the stakes? How about I raised the stakes on Arbor Day.
There's this desperation to get me hit with a pie, even though I nailed the Bronco pick, that I would still find a way to get hit with something. So I feel like I'm being a sucker to agree to this.
Did I nail the Cowboys pick?
You did, but you had other things going on with the Trevor Lawrence.
Okay, but I didn't get extra credit for nailing the Cowboys pick.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true.
I don't think anybody had the Cowboys taking Micah Parsons.
You were pretty, you declared it.
Yes.
You were pretty strong.
I said, that's the guy. That's the guy you have to take. How about if Todd doesn't have a grade of C, collective grade by the room?
Now, how is this being graded? Because these are names. It's not meant to be funny or clever. They're
just
names.
Entertainment.
It's not meant to be funny. Mission accomplished.
Hold on. It's not meant to be funny or clever. Then what are we doing?
Yeah,
this for?
Why am I doing these, Todd?
You have that option to not let me read.
Okay,
that,
I just said I wasn't
mock
doing
headlines.
It.
You could be clever. These are existing names in the sports.
Yeah, you know what? Then let's not do it. How about that? We just don't.
It's your call.
Okay. I know I made my call a while ago, and then you keep handing me your Arbor names.
I did get a little aggressive with my Arbor Day.
Do you realize that Todd one day, he accidentally dropped mock headlines as I'm walking by a piece of paper?
That was just odd timing when you happened to be walking past my desk.
And so I
don't do passive aggressive things like that.
No, you do not. And then I pick it up and I go.
You're walking briskly past me and from the M drive and everything because you're so fit and the sheet of paper went flying off my desk. And you thought that was me giving you a hint without me having to say for the 9th time, by the way, don't forget to come to me with the mock headlines.
Let's get some phone calls in here. Ian in New York. Hi, Ian. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. I'm wondering if you think the QB position will ever go the same way as the running back position with regards to the draft. It seems like the QB market has become so diluted because of how easy it is to move on from a quarterback and also how easy it is to pick one up in pre-agency. That it's creating like less demand for QBs in the draft. It almost feels like we're in a bubble and we'll maybe reach an inflection point soon where these high draft pick quarterbacks.
No, I don't think it's going to change anytime because the quarterbacks are always going to make more money. The key is, can you get a 5-year window with a quarterback? And then you're going to have to pay him, who knows, $150, $200 million. These rookie contracts. So it's not going to change. And running backs are further diluted. Because you don't need them as your, my guy's got to carry it 30 times a game. Yeah, see.
It is an interesting thought, though, because if you look at what some teams are doing, like the Jets, you know, they just keep burning high draft picks on new quarterbacks because it's like, that one didn't work out. That's okay. 2-3 years later, we'll just get another one. No big deal. You just keep turning through them.
Yeah, but that's going to continue to happen because you're trying to find gold. And that's what the Bears are doing. You know, that's what, you know, the Patriots. Did you find your guy? Remember Jarrett Stidham was supposed to be the quarterback in waiting? They moved on. You know, Sam Darnold, we wait a couple of years, we move on. It happens at that position. But if you find that guy, then you have a chance, like the Chiefs did, Seattle did with Russell Wilson. You're able to build a team off of that rookie contract. Yeah, see.
But the last two quarterbacks to get the 49ers to the Super Bowl, they ended up dumping.
Jimmy Garoppolo and
Colin Kaepernick. They ended up, you know, they're not sticking with either of those guys. So when you find gold or you find a successful quarterback, even still, that next season, like, well, yeah, this one didn't work out.
Well, the Rams,
though.
Too.
Right, the Rams, too.
Yeah. No, I get it. It's almost, and I wonder, if Garoppolo had won the Super Bowl, would they have drafted Trey Lance last night? If Jared Goff had won the Super Bowl, would he be in Detroit? You know, I wonder about that loyalty. Yeah, McLovin.
But you look at, like, last year, Washington took Chase Young, defensive rookie of the year. Amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, wasn't it a mistake not to take Justin Herbert? Because they're going to be 9-7 for the next 5 years unless they find a quarterback.
Yeah.
So you have to risk, even if, like, someone as great as Chase Young.
Yeah, Paulie.
Even like the Bears, Mitch Trubisky was not a bad quarterback for them, but it's like the Mahomes effect has removed all patience. We are always looking to upgrade at that.
But
position.
You passed on Mahomes. Yeah. That made it even worse.
Right. And that'll haunt Bears fans forever. Yeah. They had to pull that Band-Aid off.
Forever. Yeah. Did you change the poll question there, McLovin?
No. Do you want to do that? Which guy is going to take off? Or it doesn't sound like you're too excited about any of these first-year guys, Trey Lance, Mac Jones, or Justin Fields having instant success.
No, I don't think they will. Certainly not Mac Jones in New England. I think Bill will be fair to Cam Newton and give him every opportunity to play this year, and then maybe allow Cam then to get another job someplace else.
I had one really mean poll, and I could save it for the top of next hour. Which was the biggest reach? And I'm not saying that, not what you think is the biggest reach, but what it's perceived. To take a running back high, to take that guy Alex Leatherwood high for the Raiders.
Wait, I thought you were saving it till the top of the hour.
Oh, man. I'm sorry. I totally forgot I was going to say
it. Don't you understand how this works in this business? It's called a tease.
Do you think people are going to stay in their car for this one?
No.
I might as well go Arbor Day headlines.
Yeah, might as well do Arbor Day names. Todd, you got some?
I do have a couple of
them. Yeah, let's hear it real quick.
Okay, we had Al Arbor. We had Cliff Branch. We got Rod Thorne. Lefty Grove, Ryan Leaf, Charles Oakley, Forrest Gregg, Warren Sapp, Stump, Merrill Otis, Sistrunk.
Dan Orlovsky will join us. One more item, second hour, Rock Auto, rockauto.com. All the parts your car or truck will ever need at rockauto.com. If you're going to be hunting for those parts, phoning, driving, waiting in lines, wait, listen to what I have to say. Just go to rockauto.com. Family business, founded by automotive engineers in 1999. Two goals in mind. One, to give you information hidden in the computers and catalogs behind the parts store counter. And second, they want to offer reliably low prices, and they've done both of those. RockAuto.com, all the parts for your car or truck, new and old. Can't just pour 10W30 oil into just about every engine you like over the last 30 years. RockAuto.com has the specific oil, transmission fluid, antifreeze, and other chemicals your car must have. So don't waste time. Don't waste money. RockAuto.com. Check them out today. They're there 24/7. And make sure you write Dan Patrick in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. All the parts your car or truck will ever need. RockAuto.com. RockAuto.com.